I don't know if you have the same experience, but I enjoy late summer trips through the Okanagan, especially turning down Highway 93 just past Sikkimoose, because between that turn and Vernon, there just are a number of fruit and vegetable stores or fruit stands along the way. And then, of course, there are the vineyards throughout that area, resplendent with the grapes and that wonderful BC wine that we can enjoy. One of the things I appreciate about this area of BC is, although that it is conducive to agriculture because of the warmth of the summer months, it is naturally a desert. And so there has to be intentional irrigation in order for all of that abundant fruit and that great red and white wine to be enjoyed by us. Now, I think the Okanagan, in a way, is a good metaphor for the Christian life. Because you see, we live in environments, that is, in this world, where, as Jesus said in yesterday's reading, the ruler of this world is coming, aka the devil. What does that mean? It means that naturally, the world in which we live is spiritually an arid landscape. The church is therefore called to be that community that is kind of like, well, it's kind of like the Okanagan. It's to be irrigated. It's to be a cultivated community of grace. And when that happens, the church can be, so to speak, the place where fruit is being produced. And I love how Jesus put it at the end of today's gospel. What does that mean? That you may bear much fruit and become my disciples. That's what it is all about. To be that community where the fruitfulness of love is the result of grace, so that we are becoming learners. We are becoming disciples and followers of Jesus. And so I want to think with you now for a few minutes about what are the things that characterize a community that is vital, that is spiritually alive, where there is good fruit. Well, there are three things to consider: sap and life, pruning and fruitfulness, and then fruitfulness and glorifying God. Let's think about sap and life. In the Catechism of the Roman Catholic Church, there is this sentence: the Holy Spirit is like the sap of the Father's vine, which bears much fruit on its branches. The Holy Spirit is the sap of the Father's vine. What sap? Well, to put it simply, the sap is the lifeblood of the plant. Sap flows to nourish the plant, and it brings new growth. It also helps to protect the plant. Our union with the vine, who is Jesus, our life in Christ, requires that the Holy Spirit is at work in and through us. And of course, we celebrate this by the fact that we receive the Holy Spirit at our baptism. On the 28th of May, this month, there'll be about 130 children who will be confirmed. And this is a way to further the work of the Holy Spirit. But here's the most important thing. Baptism and confirmation are not going to cut it if that's all you do. No, the life of grace, the sap, has to continue to flow. And that happens through our participation, as you're doing today, in the sacrament of the Eucharist, through coming regularly to the sacrament of reconciliation. And here's something so important: by growing in living an intentional life of love. Remember what Jesus said in Sunday's gospel? A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So you are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. So this is the work of the Holy Spirit within this community of St. Peter's, the sap that gives life. But then there also needs to be the opportunity for fruitfulness. And we abide in Christ, we are nourished in the life of grace, because we are to bear much fruit. But that does require pruning. In today's first reading from Acts, we're given an insight into this, that the early church, and understandably the Jewish Christians, thought that everyone had to keep the law of Moses and be circumcised. And while that was important for a time within Israel's history, now, so to speak, that needed to be pruned and cut away, excuse the pun, in order to allow for the life of the community to grow beyond Judaism and to reach the Gentile world. And this was a very difficult thing for the early church to have to consider. This kind of pruning required discernment and work and what we would call the first ecumenical council that the church ever held. And we'll read about that, I think, tomorrow in Acts 15. But why is this pruning necessary in order that we can be fruitful? Do you remember these words from Jesus in the Gospel according to St. Luke? The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Now, sometimes we think that this verse is all about priestly vocations, and indeed, that's vitally important. We need to pray that more men will be raised up for the priesthood. But all Christians are called to this kind of life. Every baptized, confirmed Catholic has a vocation based on their state of life to be fruitful for the Lord, to be those kinds of disciples who are living in such a way that all of our lives are bearing fruit for Jesus. And why is this important? Because ultimately we are to glorify God. That's what we're going to do in heaven forever. That's what Our Lady always did. Remember her Magnificat? My soul magnifies the Lord. And similarly, as we become ever more fruitful in our life as a community of faith, we glorify God. Jesus said it in today's gospel. By this fruitfulness, my Father is glorified. Isn't that lovely? Our fruitfulness glorifies God. As you know, the Catholic Church writes lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of documents. And one is called the Decree on the Apostolate of the Laity. And they all have very fancy titles. And this is one part of this Decree on the Apostolate of the Laity. The Apostolate of the Laity derives their vocation. Sorry, let me read that again. The Apostolate of the Laity derives from their Christian vocation, and the church can never be without it. Sacred Scripture clearly shows how spontaneous and fruitful such activity was from the very beginning of the church. And the Catechism says, for the most part, the apostolate of pastors cannot be fully effective without the laity. Amen to that. No laity, no church. No pastors, no church. The interrelationship between the two is of vital importance. You see, our actions, our life, are meant to bring the light and light of Christ to the world. And we all have an essential part in this mission. I am so thankful that here at St. Peter's, we have had and will continue to have such opportunities to cultivate the kind of fruitfulness that Jesus is desiring for us. Let us pray that in a world that is by nature spiritually arid, that St. Peter's will become ever more like a stretch of Highway 93. Such fruitfulness, such life, such abundance that more and more people will, so to speak, pull over to the side and come in and discover the growth that is supernatural growth as we are a local expression of the vineyard of the Lord in this part of Calgary's Northwest. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that our lives matter in your plan of salvation. It is a gift to know that you trust us, to be united with you in building your kingdom. Lord, there are so many demands on our time. Help us to see how to prioritize our lives to serve you better. Help us see how we can best use the gifts and talents you have given us in your service. Fill us with zeal to build your kingdom. And with your love, touch each person we meet so that we may be fruitful disciples by which the Father is glorified. Amen.